Okay, today's daf is of Avodah Zarah, daf Tes Zayin. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the page on daf Tes Vav Amud Beis at Tanu Rabbanan, four lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Venuman, Lizchusar for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have Refuah Shlema, B'soch Shar Cholei Yisrael. So the first topic of conversation we're going to have is whether one is allowed to sell shields and scrap metal to Ovdei Kochavim, meaning are those also considered like clay Zion, like clay Milchama, that one is not allowed to sell to Ovdei Kochavim. The Gemara is then going to explain the Machlokas about a Shavura, an animal that is Shavura. We had a Machlokas in the Mishnah, whether you're allowed to sell it, and also Machlokas about a sus, what those two machlokos are about. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether you can sell a fattened shor to an Oved Kochavim, because most likely a fattened shor is meant to be used l'shchita. He's not going to keep it around to do malacha, so you don't have to worry about the various issues related to malacha on Shabbos that you have with selling a behema gasa to a guy. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether a fattened shor is mutar rasa. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about selling and building things that could be a nezek l'rabim, selling wild animals that are very dangerous or helping to build places where they kill people, criminals and the like. So are you allowed to help in those endeavors? The Gemara is going to raise the question whether a chaya gasa, a large wild beast, has the same din as a behema gasa, or maybe the same din as a behema daka with regard to selling. Because remember, we said that a behema gasa, you're not allowed to sell to Novi Chavim. Behema daka, though, depends on minag. It depends on what the practice is in that place. So what about a chaya gasa? Is a chaya gasa something that's dependent on minag, or is a chaya gasa automatic across the board? And the Gemara is going to bring a raya from our Mishnah. That's why the conversation comes up over here. And then the Gemara is going to discuss halfway down Amud Beis to try to figure out who the author is of the statement that with regard to a different halacha, a chaya gasa has the din of a behema daka. With regard to the halacha of pirchus, which means that when you have an animal that is ill and you shecht it, so you can't necessarily be certain that it died, that it survived until the Gemar Shechita, and it's only going to be kosher if it survives till the Gemar Shechita. So a simon ledavar, to be able to tell whether it survived till the Gemar Shechita, is did it jump, did it have a pirchus, did it have some sort of motion after the Shechita. So the definition of a pirchus for a behema gasa is that it moves a limb in a single direction, that it stretches out one of its legs. The definition of pirchus for behema daka is that that's not enough, it's got to move a limb back and forth. So what about a chaya gasa? So there is someone that says that a chaya gasa also has to go back and forth like a behema daka. Who says that? So the Gemara is going to work on, was it Rav? Was it Shmuel? Who said it in the name of it? So we try to figure out just who the author is. So let's begin four lines from the bottom of the page. Tanu Rabbanan on Daf Tes Vavam Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein mochelen trisin. You're not even allowed to sell to an Ovid Kochavim shields. V'yeshom im mochelen trisin. But others say, no, a shield is not a clay melchama that you're allowed to sell. My taima. What's the reason that it will be mutter? Ilemu mishum dimignu if the concern is that you're not even allowed to sell something that they're going to use for self-defense, something to protect themselves, then you shouldn't be allowed to sell them even wheat and barley, anything that's going to help them live, anything that's going to help them survive. So Amar Rav, Rav says that there's a big difference between selling trisin, which might be asr, versus selling chitim musarum, which obviously is mutter. The difference is efshar hachinami. Question is, how do you understand what those words mean? So Rashi writes, e efshar below eva. E over here is milashon im. If it's possible to do that, to refuse to sell chitim usaorim without creating a sense of eva, without creating a dangerous situation for the Jewish community, ein hachinami. That's what you would have to do. You would have to avoid selling chitim usaorim as well. Trisim, it's easy to avoid. Don't go into the trisim business, and there's not going to create any sense of eva. But ein hachinami, the Gemara is saying, according to the way Rashi reads it, we really, in principle, shouldn't be selling chitim usarim either. Now, the difficulty with Rashi is, first of all, difficult to imagine that, in principle, we shouldn't be selling food to Ovdei Kochavim. But aside from that, the words efshar appear all over the place in Shas. And almost every time you have the words efshar in Shas, they mean impossible. They don't mean if it were possible, is never milashun im. And that's what the Mesoras Shas on the side points out. Pirish kemo im. Vaharbe I mishamshim bilashun im. A lot of times the word I really means im. Yeah, that's true. But how often does I efshar mean im efshar? So that's why Tosos and Daf Tezvavam Ralev Daf ago in Dibra Maskel Emur, and the Rush over here, and the Ritva on Daf Tezvavam Ralev, and the Ran all say that no, the Gemara means to discuss a hefsid mamon, meaning that if we would aser selling chitim usarim, that would cause a tremendous hefsid for Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't be able to do any business, and we can't aser that without causing a great hefsid. So I efshar, it's impossible for us to make such a din. So that's why Sahanami. So by Trisit also, if it were impossible, we would say it's mutter, but it's possible. So that's why we say it's asir. Ikadamri, others explain the din of Trisin, that Trisin, Hainu Taima Dolo, the Chishal Mizinai Katli Begavayu. Trisin are not the same as Chitim Usa'orim. No, Chitim Usa'orim give life. That's a wonderful thing. Trisim, although they protect life, once they run out of weapons of their own, they'll start using the Trisim as weapons of death. They'll start banging the Trisim against other people's heads, and they'll start using it as a weapon, and you're not allowed to sell them weapons. That's the issue with Trisim. V'yesh omrim mochalam Trisim d'chishol mizinayim ma'arki, and the Yeshom that says that you're allowed to sell them Trisim holds that it's not true, that when they run out of weapons, they don't start using the Trisim as weapons. When they run out of weapons, they run, because they're going to die if they don't. You don't stay on the battlefield when you don't have any real weapons. All you have is Trisim. So they'd run away, and therefore it's mutter to sell them Trisim. Amrav nachlamam rabaravua halacha ki yesh omrim. We paskin like the yesh omrim, that it's mutter to sell them trisim, and you don't have to worry that they're going to use it as a weapon. Amar avad barava, ein mochlan ashashios shel barzel. You're not supposed to sell them cuts of iron, pieces of iron that are not shaped like anything, but can be shaped into a weapon. My taima mishum de chal shiminayu clay zayin, and the reason that it's us is because you can fashion clay zayin out of it. So since they can fashion weapons out of it, we don't want to give them the raw materials with which they're going to make a weapon. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the case, afilu mari v'chatzini nami, we shouldn't be allowed to sell them gardening utensils either, because they can make a weapon out of a gardening utensil. Some Rav Zvid beparzala hindoa. No, the case is that you're selling them iron from Eretz Hodu, where it's only used to make clay zayin. So it's not used for anything else, but something that generally is used as a gardening implement, you don't have to worry that they're going to use it for clay zayin. But to sell them raw materials, you know, the guy asks for I don't know what the examples are, but if you sell them, I was going to say gunpowder or something, probably there's some non-violent use of gunpowder as well, but he asks for bullets or something like that, so you know he's not using the bullets to make other things. Obviously he's using the bullets to make weapons, so you're providing them with something that they can only be used to make weapons. That's the problem. But gardening utensils are for productive purposes as well. And what about nowadays where we do sell these things? Oh, that's to the Parsai people because they protect us. So you're allowed to sell weapons to people who ultimately serve as your security force. They ultimately protect you. So that's the heter that we have b'zman hazeh. So a couple of things over here. First of all, the Ritva raises the question, if Ashashio Shalbarzel themselves are not the Klei Zayin, they aren't the weapon, they're just something with which people make a weapon, why would be us to sell it to a guy? That's not Lifnei Iver, that's Lifnei de Lifnei. It's two steps removed, that you sell it to the guy and all he's got is iron now, but then he's got to turn it into something. So shouldn't that be Lifnei de Lifnei? The Ritva suggests that the fact that that Jews are not Mitzuvah on Lifnei de Lifnei, that we don't have to worry about a secondary level Lifnei Iver, that's only when the Kona himself is not going to do the Isser. That the Chashash is that he's going to turn around, sell it to somebody else, and that somebody else is going to do the yisr. So we say we don't have to worry about a third party. But over here, where the chashash is that the guy who's buying it from you will himself, it's a step removed, it's a step that he has to take, but he himself will take that step. He himself will turn the iron that you sell him into a weapon, then we have to be concerned even about lifnei de lifnei. Then a second point, the Gemara had said that le parsai de mignu lavun, that to sell it to the parsai people, to sell weapons to parsai people who protect us, is going to be mutter. So Tosos of Yer points out in the top Tosos, v'nira, da na nami sharin and hashta limkar lov de kham klei zayin mehay taima. That's why nowadays we're allowed to sell weapons to Ovdei Kechavim, because the Ovdei Kechavim, the non-Jewish police force and army, protects us. So you're allowed to sell to people who are going to protect you. In the Chidushei Maharis Shapira, he writes that that's Dafka, where every Ish Milchama would buy his own Klei Zayin. But when you join an organized military and the government provides the Klei Zayin, so that wouldn't be a heter for us to sell to individual Ovdei Kechavim, because they're not protecting us. I mean, we're talking about the forces that ultimately will protect you. But the reality is that the police force protects us with the weapons that they're given by the police department, and the army protects us with the weapons that they're given by the army. So it wouldn't be mutter, says the Maharis Shapira, to sell Klei Zayin to Ovdei Kechavim with this heter that Tosfos has, that it's that they're there to protect us. And in fact, it's meduik that way in the Rambam, the 12th of Hilchos Ratzeach. He says, "Umutter limkor Klei Zayin lechayil shel haMedina." That they are the army and they need these weapons in order to function. Another point over here, the Balamar writes that based on what we say over here, that you're allowed to sell for people who protect you, we should also be matir to sell susum predos. We should be allowed to sell horses, because you also have that same heter, meaning they need horses because the horses are used in the army and the army protects us. They need police horses, so they will be able to protect us. I don't know, the police say, I guess, they, I don't know, I'm not sure what they do, but they'll be able to protect us. So that same heter applies. Says the Ramban, that is not true. The Gemara said that you're allowed to sell weapons because those weapons will be used to protect you when you're selling to people who are charged with protecting you. That same heter doesn't apply to selling animals, because the isra of selling weapons is not for the same reason as the isra of selling animals. The isra to sell weapons is that they're going to go and kill and do terrible things. Oh, good. So when you know that they're not killing, they're protecting with it, so then you're allowed to sell it. But the issue of selling animals has nothing to do with they're going to go and kill. The issue of selling animals is because of Shabbos concerns, that it's going to should be a violation of Shisa's Behema on Shabbos if you're Socher and Shawel. So it's all the Gezeira to Shabbos. What is the fact that they're protecting you? How does that address the concern? How does that alleviate the concern of Shabbos? Mistama the Baal Amar would say, it doesn't alleviate that concern, but it's enough of a tzorech to say that Mistama b'chi agavna we weren't gozer. Meaning, what's the issue over here? Why is protection a heter? Is protection a heter because you see now that the concern in the Isser to begin with is not a concern? Or is it that, no, even though it is a concern, the reason we answered it makes a lot of sense, but there's an overwhelming factor over here that outweighs that concern. So that seems to be the machlokas between the Bala Ma'or and the Ramban over here. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Agolim usiyachim. When it came to baby animals, we said in the Mishnah that even the baby animals, even a calf, even a young donkey, which is not yet going to be ro'i to do malacha, still you're not even allowed to sell that. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. But then we said Rabbi Yehuda allows selling the shvura. That we said already in the Mishnah that he's matir b'shvura, but the Braisa adds why. Why does he allow a broken animal because it's not going to get any better, it's not going to live, and therefore they're not going to leave it around with the hope that it will do malacha, they're going to kill it right away. But can't you mate an animal that's a shvura, and then it will be productive, it will be able to provide offspring that the owner will be able to use, so won't he keep it around for that reason? But given the marvina levi oledes, also l'shahuye, that since it will be able to have offspring, isn't that enough reason that he's going to want to keep the animal around, and therefore it should be aser? He said, let me see it give birth. It can't really give birth. Alma lo mekabel zachar, meaning it's not going to be able able to be Mekabel Zachar. Says Tosfos, does that mean that if it were Mekabel Zachar, if you were to find some way to inseminate the animal, it's not able to be molded? It's not able to go through the birthing process? Tosfos says, no, it doesn't mean that. It just means that it's never going to get to that point. If Tosfos points out, Alma lo Mekabel Zachar, la mishum desavar trefei neyoledes, not because we're taking a stance over here that a trefa is unable to have offspring, the perikei l'trefas by l'meim l'Rabbi Yehuda d'yoledes, because in perikei l'trefas Rabbi Yehuda holds that a trefa is yoledes. Ela d'lo mekabel zachar. No, the point is it's not going to get pregnant to begin with. But if it were to get pregnant, it would still be yoledes. Now it's very interesting. Tosos just Masiach Lefitumo associates shavura with trefa. He says, oh, we're saying that a shavura is not mekabel zachar. Oh, how does that fit with the idea that a trefa is yoledes? He's assuming that shvura and trefa mean the same thing. The Raver over here writes, Rabbi Yehuda's matir afilu b'shvura she'ena trefa, meaning it's a shvura. Who says it's a trefa? It's not going to die. A trefa is going to die within the next year, usually. This is a shvura that's not a trefa. And when the Gemara says she'ena yichol l'strapos v'lichios, it means l'strapos from this injury. Not that it can't live, but that it can't ever recuperate from this injury. Like the Gemara used the lashon of ad shetichya hamaka. Tichya doesn't necessarily mean live. Tichya means will become healed. So therefore, this has nothing to do with trefa. But you see where Tosfos gets the idea that it does relate to trefa, because Tosfos understands l'srapos v'lichios. It's not going to be able to be l'srapos v'lichios. Tosfos understands very literally that it's not going to be able to live, and that's the very definition of trefa, something that has an illness that it simply will not be able to survive. So that's where Tosfos l'chora gets the idea that shavura relates to trefa. The Netziv asks, he doesn't understand why Tosfos associates Shura the trefa. Shavura doesn't sound like it, meaning it's a different word. So it doesn't sound like it really means a trefa. Shavura certainly is ra'ui to give birth. It's just not mekabel zachar. But l'chora, that's the answer. I mean, Tosfos got the idea from the fact that the Gemara uses the word lichios. The fact that the Ravid has to touch up. No, lichios means tichya amake. It means that the injury will heal. He's showing you what bothered Tosfos. He's showing you that that's why Tosfos assumed that that's considered a trefa. Ben b'seira matir b'sus. Then the Mishnah that said that Ben Besera allows selling horses to Avdei Chavim. Tani Ben Besera Matir B'sus Mnei Shuosa Ba Malacha She'in Chayev Alei Achatas. You know why he allows a sus? Because a sus can't really do malacha, real malacha on Shabbos anyway. All it does is carries people, and a chay no se asatzmo, carrying a person is not a real malacha, because a person is considered to carry himself, and therefore you're allowed to sell a sus. V'Rebbe Osem Ripnei Beis Devarim. And Rebbe asers even selling a sus for two reasons. Echad mishum toras klei zayin. One, because the animal itself could become a weapon. Ve'echad mishum toras behemagasa. And the other, because of the same thing, it's included in the gzeira of not selling a behemagasa due to malacha being done on Shabbos. Well, bishlam toras klei zayin ikad dekatol b'schufei. I get what you mean when you say it's about toras klei zayin, because a horse could be trained that when it sees an enemy combatant down, that it will trample it and kill it. Ela toras behemagasa maihi. But in what sense would it be included in the gzeira of Behemagasa, the whole list is that it's going to do malacha. A horse doesn't do malacha. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan l'chsheyaskin matchino berechayim b'shabbos. When a horse gets old and it's no longer usable to ride on, they'll use it to help grind in the mill on Shabbos. So it is something that is able to do malacha. In the Tosos Chachme Anglia, they raise the question that even though the Svar of Ben Beseira, that rechiva on a sus, there's no chiv chatas, it's only a shvus midrabanan, it's not a real malacha, but we should still be gozer mishum nisione, meaning granted. So you're not going to be gozer that mishum shvisas behema, that when the guy has it on Shabbos, he's going to work with it all day long, and it's going to be a violation of shvisas behema. But still mishum nisione, that when you might do the deal a few minutes before shkia on erev Shabbos, and the guy is going to say, give it a test run before I complete the deal, and you'll give it the test run, and then it's going to be mechamer on Shabbos. So why don't we say the same thing by a horse? So he suggests that mechamer achar behema is only when the behemah is doing a malacha that's daraisa on Shabbos, meaning the Yisr of Mechamer is very much related to the Yisr of Shus Behemah. It's just the Mechamer involves the animal listening to the owner and doing malacha. Not just stam, the animal listening to the owner. But if the animal is just running, galloping or something, but it's not doing any malacha, that would not be included in mechamer. Rabbi Kiva Eger has in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch a very sharp point over here. We say, what's the difference between a horse and other behemoth gasos? Because it's also ba malacha, she'in chayav nala chatas. A horse does malacha that you're not chayav chatas for. What's that malacha exactly? That you rechivas asus, that you ride on the horse. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, why say it does malacha that you're not chayav chatas? Why not just say it's only derabanan, that it's not even a malacha d'oraisa to begin with? Meaning, isn't that a strong... You could not be chayav chatas for something that's nisa d'oraisa. You have better by a horse, that it doesn't even do malacha d'oraisa at all. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says it's meduyak, the Gemara is trying to be as precise as possible. Because there is a certain thing that's also mid'oraisa, but you would not be chayav chatas. And a horse does that. It does that which is... And the Gemara is trying to say... Just the fact that it's not chayiv chatos, even though it does malacha d'oraisa, something that is d'oraisa, just the fact that it's not chayiv chatos would be enough of a heter. What is the thing that's also d'oraisa, but it's not chayiv chatos? There's a significant group of Rishonim, the Rif and the Rama, many others, that assume that even though Tchum Shabbos of Alpayim Amma is not d'oraisa, the idea of going outside of Tchum of 2,000 Amma is not d'oraisa, but Yud Beis Mil, the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil is d'oraisa. A horse is meant to gallop long distances, so it's going to go beyond the Yud Beis Mil on Shabbos. So that's a Doraisa, but one that's, so it's not a Malacha. So you're not Chayiv Chatos for it. So that's what we're trying to say with the horse, that because it's not Chayiv Chatos, that's Meduyik, the Lashon's Meduyik, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that you're not Chayiv Chatos, that even outside of Yud Beis Mil, there's Nisa Doraisa, since there's no Chayiv Chatos, they don't Aser, Mishum She'ilu Schirus, because there's no Isser Torah of Shvisas Behemto, unless it's something that you're Chayiv Chatos for. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Keben Beseira, that we paskin like the Ben Beseira. Okay, Ibailu. Now the Gemara raises a new question. Shar shel pite mahu. What if you sell a fattened shar? So it's at a point where it's not going to be able to do much malacha. It's just, it's too fat to do anything. It's going to be great for shachting. The meat is going to be delicious, but it's not going to be able to do any malacha. So do we still have to be concerned that you can't sell such a thing to an Ovid Chavim? So Tabayla Rabbi Yehuda, Tabayla Rabbanan. Says Gemara, you should know, this is a question both according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who is Matir Besus, Rabbi Yehuda's Matir Beshvura, an animal that's broken that can't do malacha, Rabbi Yehuda thought was mutter, so Rabbi Yehuda might think that a fat animal is Aser, even though right now can't do malacha. And the Rabbanan, who Aser, a broken animal, might be Matir, a fat animal. It's a question within both Shitos. Why? Rabbi Yehuda only matters a shvura because it will never do malacha. As we said, it's never going to heal from that injury. But a fattened shor you could put on a diet and it will do malacha. So asr, so maybe that will be asr because there's potential for the future to do malacha. Odilma afil rabbanan, even according to the rabbanan, loka asri hasam el destan. The Rabbanan only aser because it's not meant to ultimately for shchita. Aval hay destamil shchita kai afil Rabbanan sharu. But this which is meant for shchita, the Rabbanan will be matir because the whole point of a shar of a fattened shar is to shecht it. So why would you be concerned? He's going to keep it around, do work with it on Shabbos. Of course he's going to shecht it. So Tashma says Gemara, let's bring a raya. Damar Rav Yudam Shmuel shall base Rebbe hayu makrivin shar shel pitim biyomedam, that the base Rebbe used to give as a tax or as a gift to the king a fattened shor on the Yom Ayid. And then the base Rebbe would spend exorbitant sums of money to try to get this tax lifted. First they would bribe them with an exorbitant sum of money not to be makriv that day on the Yom Ayid, but rather the next day. And then at a later stage they bribed with another exorbitant sum of money that they shouldn't be makriv while it's alive, they should only be makriv after it's already shachut. And then another exorbitant sum of money that they shouldn't be makriv at all. My time, lav mishum dilma asil. Meaning, why is it that they did that last bribe to lift this tax, that they shouldn't have to give this animal? Isn't it because asil shuye, that even though it's a fattened shar, we're still concerned that they're going to keep it around and they're not just going to use it for its meat? So you see that it's asir. Well, Taima. Well, by that logic, what was the reason for the first bribe? That they're going to bring it tomorrow? Well, why would that help if the whole concern is that, I mean, what's the utility of such a bribe if the whole concern is that they're just going to leave it around for Malacha? So why would you want them to delay till tomorrow? El Rebbe mi Akar Milsabo v'savri Akar v'asi porta porta. Rebbe was a wise man. He understood that in order to uproot a law, he had to go little by little. To try all at one shot and say, you know what, we don't like this tax. That's not going to work. So he started little by little. So he started chipping away at it. Sometimes a person has to keep the long view in mind, and that you're not going to win every battle today. But you have to figure out how to strategize, how to develop a long-term plan. That's all he was doing. So says Gemara of Chimashulei Bari Va'avid Melacha. So if you leave it around, is it really going to get healthy and do a malacha? I mean, once an animal is, you have this obese animal, so is it really a realistic thing that it's going to, that you're going to put it on a diet, it's going to do malacha? Sam Ravashi Amali Zvida Bartura Mashinalei Va'avid Al Chadrin. Yeah, we once had such an ox, and we put it on a diet, and it did twice the malacha of any other ox. Meaning it was when it felt so light, because it lost all of that weight, so it was able to work twice as hard as any other ox, so that is a realistic possibility. Now, Tosus raises the question earlier in Daftas Vav and Rav, he raises the question, according to Rabbi Natan, that you're allowed to sell paros and shvarim to an achri because you assume that he's going to be koneh l'shchita. You assume when he buys these things, stam it's l'shchita. What exactly is the suffix of the Gemara over here? I mean, according to Rabbi Natan, stam when you sell an animal to a guy, you assume he's using l'shchita. A fattened animal that's meant to be fattened for the sake of shchita? Of course you could assume l'shchita. So what's the Gemara suffix? So Tos quotes from the Reed that even though other shvarim you're allowed to sell, but the Gemara still has a suffix, maybe a shor shel patum would be asur to sell because of this last line of the Gemara. This last line we just said, he's capable of doing twice the work of a regular shor. You just have to be patient. So maybe a regular animal, you assume he's going to shecht right away. But an animal that has potential for twice the work, maybe there's less of a reason to assume he's going to shecht right away. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that it doesn't mean that the Gemara's question is not whether you're allowed to sell such an animal. A shor like this, of course you're allowed to sell it, to, because of course it's going to be used for shechita. The Gemara's suffix is when the guy wants to buy it from al-menas l'fatmo, he wants to buy a regular animal al-menas to keep it around to fatten it. So that maybe we should ask her because we know that he plans on keeping it around for a long time. When he sells stam a cow and he's buying it stam, sell shechita tomorrow. You don't have to worry about it. You could assume he'll shechita tomorrow. But if you sell him an animal that he says, I plan on leaving this animal alive so that I can fatten it, so that I can shecht it in a year from now, maybe that's cause for greater concern because you know that he's planning on leaving it around for an extended period of time. The Ritva says, no, the suffix is dafka when you're selling to a guy who's not a butcher. Meaning the whole assumption we made earlier that if you sell an animal, you could always assume it's being used for shechita. If you're selling to a butcher, you could always assume that it's being used for shechita. Over here, we're talking about you're selling to a guy who happens to not be a butcher. And that's why there's room for suffix over here. But you're selling the kind of animal that's meant to be butchered. So do you assume that it's going to be butchered, or do you assume that it's going to be left around for a long time? Okay, new Mishnah. Ein mochlem, another thing that you're not allowed to sell to avdi chavim, dubin v'arayis, not allowed to sell bears and lions. The called many creature that can be extremely damaging to the public. Similarly, ein bonani mahim basilki gardum et stadio bima. You're not allowed to build certain structures for them that are used for very terrible, dangerous things. So a basilki, Rashi says, it was a place where they would be don people and throw them off of this high tower to their deaths. A gardum, he says, another a type of binyan that was also don din in fasha. And it's stadia, a place where they make bullfights with human beings, and the bulls kill the human beings, so that's a bad thing. And a bima is also some sort of very high, narrow area where they would make it to push off a person who's from this high tower when they wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. So in all these things, these are nezek l'rabim type of things. So these are things that you shouldn't participate in building. Aval bonani mahem biyom sios ubeis merchatzaos. But you're allowed to build biyom Sios, which is not made for Avodah Zarah, and Beis Merchatzaos, and a bathhouse. Higia l'kipa, shemamidim b'avodas chavim, but even within these structures, once you get to the part where they keep the Avodah Zarah, where they house the Avodah Zarah, in the little dome where they put the little getchka, asur livnos, that you're not allowed to build. You're not allowed to build the section that houses the Avodah Zarah itself. But the larger building that has utility, that has basic utility, that you're allowed to do. That you're allowed to help them build. There are a couple of explanations actually in Rishonim why it is that you're not allowed to build a bima with them. The Rimi Lunil says because of the chav mar chashal shlichus damim, and you have to be, and it's therefore lifnei iver because they're going to kill other nachrim. Then he says it could also be lo samar al dam reyecha, because forget about other nachrim, it could be that they're going to arrest the Yisrael and they're going to kill the Yisrael using this. So that could be a violation of lo samar al dam reyecha, even leaving aside aside from the issue of lifnei iver in terms of what they might do to Goyim. And it sounds like that way from Rashi and the Ran as well, that they say it's a nezek l'rabim k'dei shlo yitvas Yisrael. That's why you're not allowed to build, because Yisrael might be arrested. So the Avodas Avodar, Shlomo Kluger raises the question, why didn't Rashi say the simple reason that it's lifnei iver, that they're going to kill? You have to come up, they might get a Yisrael, and therefore l'samer al-dam re'echa. So he says because in the beginning of the Mishnah says that you don't sell dubim v'arayos, and Rashi doesn't say the reason is so that a Jew doesn't get killed, because over there you could say that we're talking about it's shnei avri denahar, the guy is not going to be able to be kona dubim v'arayos if you don't sell it to him. You're the only way he's ever going to be able to buy these animals. So you could say the reason of lifnei iver. But in the sefer we're talking about how hard is it to find another contractor? The Jewish contractor will do it, he'll find someone else to do it. So it's hard to say the whole issue is lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is only when he has no other ability to do it, when it's shnei avri denahara. So that's why Rashi doesn't want to say lifnei iver. He says it must be that it's an issue of lo samar al dam reyecha, that a Jew ultimately is going to get killed as a result of these buildings. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda, Varmi l'Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, Chaya Gasa, Harei Kibehema Daka l'Pirchus. When it comes to the halach of Pirchus, which as we said before, Chulun Daf Lam Zayin, the Gemara says, if you shecht a sickly animal, you have to be choshesh that maybe it died before the Gemara Shechita, and therefore it's not kosher. So how do you know that it didn't die before the Gemara Shechita and that it's kosher? Only if it's mefarches, if it jumps a little after the Shechita. So what does it mean to jump a little? So for Behema Gasa, it means that it extends a limb. For Behema Daka, it means it extends and retracts the limb. It goes in both directions. So says the Gemara, a Chaya Gasa, a large Chaya, has the same thing as Behema Daka. Not enough to extend the limb, it has to extend and bring back the limb in order for it to be kosher. Avalola Mechira, but when it comes to the Yisr of selling to a guy, so we said a Behema Daka is Tully and Minhag. Behema Gasa is absolutely Yisr. What about a Chaya Gasa? So Chaya Gasa is like a Behema Gasa. It's not like a Behema Daka. It's going to be absolutely Yisr. V'ani Omer Af L'Mechira. But I say that I disagree, and that even the Mechira, Makom Shnogu Limkor Mokrin, Shalom Limkor Ein Mokrin, it has the same din as a Behema Daka, where it's Tully on Minhag. So Tana, and it said in our Mishnah, Ein Mokrin and Dubin V'arayos, you're not allowed to sell bears and lions, V'lo Kol Davar She'esh Be'Nezek L'Rabim, or anything else. That's going to be a public menace. Time of this Be'Nezek L'Rabim. Halas Be'Nezek L'Rabim Shari. Sounds like any other wild beast is mutter to sell. So isn't that a raya that it's like a behema daka and not like a behema gasa? Samara barula ba'ari shavur. No, we're talking about a broken lion, a lion that wouldn't be good to do malacha anyway. Valiba Rabbi Yehuda, we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that even a behema gasa, if it's shavur, is mutter. Ravashi amristamari shavur etzel malacha. Ravashi says, yeah, every lion is broken as far as it comes to do malacha. Try to convince a lion to do malacha. It doesn't work. Meisve, so the Gemara asks another question. We have a brisa that says explicitly that just like you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa, you're also not allowed to sell a chaya gasa. And I don't care what you do with a behema daka, even if you're in a place where a behema daka is mutter to sell, a chaya gasa is not like a behema daka. A chaya gasa is like a behema gasa. It's always usher. So isn't that an explicit brisa? Tiyufta Rav Chanan bar Rava, tiyufta. Yeah, an explicit brisa against Rav Chanan bar Rava. Rav Chanan bar Rava wanted to say that a chaya gasa is like a behema daka? No, we have a brisa that says explicit. A chaya gasa is like a behema gasa. Ravina Rami Masnisna brisa Mashani. Ravina had the same discussion that we just had, but he formulated it differently. He asked that it's a stira between our Mishnah and the brisa, and then he answered the stira. That Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Ein Mochlan Dubin V'arayus. Now let us sell bears and lions. V'lo Kol Davar She'esh Bo Nezek L'Rabim or any other public menace. Time of this Be Nezek L'Rabim, Las Be Nezek Mochrin. Sounds like a wild animal that's not a public menace. You're allowed to sell. Or a mini, but we have a brice that says just the opposite. That Kshem Shein Mochrin Be Magasa kach ein mochrin chayagasa, that a chayagasa is just like a behemagasa, you're not allowed to sell it. Vafil mochrin shemochrin behemadaka, chayagasa ein mochrin. And even if you're in a place where they sell a behemadaka, but a chayagasa is different, you're not allowed to sell a chayagasa. So it's a stira umishani. And the answer to the stira is ba'ari shavur v'alibid Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about an ari that's not able to do malacha, that's broken, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that even a behema gasa that's broken, you're allowed to sell. Ravashi amastam ari shavur reitzel malacha, and Ravashi says every ari is considered shavur when it comes to malacha. Maskav nachman man lemelan dari chayagasihi dilma chayadakihi. Whoever said that an ari counts as a chayagasa, maybe an ari is a chaya daka. So the Avodas Avodas says, what? An ari is a chaya daka? He's the king of the jungle. How could you say that the king of the jungle, he actually used that expression, he's the melech shebechayas. How could you say that the melech is a chaya daka? So he says, no, what it means to say is that maybe the Mishnah is talking about an ari that's a baby ari. And therefore, at that stage, it's a daka. An ari gadol, of course, is a chaya gasa. But maybe we're talking about ari katan, and Rashi's that way, because at man lemelan diari the high ari chayagasu. Rashi, who's that? That's his question. Not that an ari in general, the high ari. Who says that this ari that our Mishnah is talking about is a chayagasa? So maybe you can't bring any rias about chayagasas from our Mishnah, because maybe our Mishnah is talking about a chayadaka at a baby stage. Rav Ashi daik masnisa nemos of tiyufta. Rav Ashi was medaik from a Mishnah and asked the tiyufta as follows: Tanan ein mochlem dum va'arayos v'lekol devashesh b'nezek l'rabim. Our Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell bears and lions or anything that's a public menace. Taima dis beinezek, halas beinezek mochrin. Sounds like if it's not a public menace, you're allowed to sell it. V'taima ari dis tam ari shavaretz malacha. And the only reason you're allowed to, you would be allowed to sell it had it not been a public menace, is because it's a lion that can't do malacha. Aval midi achrin edavin malacha lo. But if it were something that's a non-public menace, but it can do malacha, you wouldn't be allowed to sell that either. Tiyufta de Rav Chanan bar Rava, tiyufta, so that's a tiyufta de Rav Chanan bar Rava. You see that a chayagasa, if it's able to do malacha, you're not allowed to sell it. V'chayagasa miyos, my malacha avda. What kind of chayagasa does malacha? Where do you ever have such an example? Amar Abaye, Amar li Mar Yehuda, de Beimar Yochni, tachni rechayim ba'arudei. That they saw in the Beimar Yochni, in the house of Mar Yochni, they used to use a wild donkey to grind by the mill. So it is possible to use a chayagasa for malacha, and if you have such a chayagasa, you're not allowed to sell that to an akum either. Amar Abzer, kiavin be Rav Yehuda Amar Lan, when we were by Rav Yehuda, they told us, Kamiru Minai, Ha Milsa de Migavar Rabbi Shmieli, that you should listen to this halacha, because I heard it from a great man. Veleyadani ime Rav imi Shmuel. I just don't know if he heard it from Rav or Shmuel, which great man he was referring to. And the halacha was that Chayagasa Reiki Be Medaka Lepirchus. Was that halacha that a Chayagasa, when you shecht it has to be Mefarches like a Behemadaka back and forth in order for you to be confident that it's kosher. The only problem is, I don't know who the originator of this halacha was. Was it Rav or was it Shmuel? So he said, I had to do some investigating. I visited Kurkunya and I found that they were teaching this halacha in the name of Shmuel. This exact halacha. So I uncovered. It must be that Shmuel is the originator of this halacha. But then I investigated further. I visited Sura. I found Rav Bar Yirmiyah quoting Rav. Chayegasa reiki be'medaka lepirchus. Samina shmamina itmar mishmed Rav v'itmar mishmed Shmuel. The reason he said it so vaguely that it was in the name of a gavra rabba, it's both gavra rabbas. It's both Rav and Shmuel. Kisalikas la'asim. And then when I went there, ashkachte the Ravasi diyasa v'kamer. I found Ravasi saying over Amar of Chama Bar Gurya mishmed Rav chayegasa reiki be'medaka lepirchus. That he said that Rav Chama Bar Gurya said it directly in the name of Rav. Samri Lai, I said to him, Velosav Lamar, the man Mar Deshmaita Rabba Bar Yirmiya, wasn't it Rabba Bar Yirmiya said in the name of Rav? Aren't you misattributing the middleman? Samri Lai, Pas Yuchma, you blackened pot, which apparently is a compliment, Rashi says, that meaning you're a Talmud Chacham who knows a lot of halachos and who taught them, Minoy Minoch Tistayim Shmaita. Between the two of us, we'll get it right. Meaning, there was the Itmar Nami, Amrav Zera, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yirmiya, Amrav Cham Bar Gurya,
Amarav, now we know the whole chain. Meaning, now that we know that you learned it from Rabbi Yirmiya, I learned it from Rechavim Bar Gurya, it must be that Rabbi Yirmiya got it from Rechavim Bar Gurya, who in turn got it from Rav, Chayagasa, Harei Kibbe Medaka Lepirchus. That a Chayagasa has a din of a Behemagasa for Pirchus. Now, why is it that you would call the Talmud Chacham a blackened pot? It doesn't sound like a very great compliment. So Rashi writes over here, Klei Shachar, Kamohani Pasvasa Debe Michzi, Uchma Shanish Tacher Ali De Malacha. That just like someone who works as a blacksmith gets darkened from his malacha. Plumber gamata ragil v'tadir b'torah. So he's saying, so too, you're so busy in Torah, like mikosle besa nikmar shabchamiata chachma mfor b'kli mufor. That it's the derech of a Talmud Chacham that he's mitzar on his limud Torah, and he doesn't have time to clean his clothing. He doesn't have time to clean off the dirt from his clothing, so his clothing is typically blackened. I don't know, maybe that's where the minhag comes from, that Talmid Chacham wear these black coats, dafka black for Talmid Chacham. But it used to be that it was because it was dirty, not because it was that's the way it was made. Okay, maybe, I don't know. So Bez Hashem will pick up at the two dots tomorrow.